When I was in college, I worked as a librarian in Fondren Library at SMU, and that's one of the ways that I earned my spending money and a little extra money to supplement my income while I was in school. You know, I worked in the library. It was a very sedentary job, a very quiet job. It wasn't a glamorous job or a special job, and it really didn't pay me a whole lot of money, but it paid me enough, or barely enough. And while I worked there, I also, of course, attended class. That was my purpose for being there. And when I was in class, I got to know a lot of people. I had a lot of very special friends. And one of those special friends, one of those people who I came to admire and like as a friend and with whom I shared periodic words and interesting comments on our studies, was a fellow by the name of Peter. Now, Peter was a very interesting person. He looked like the kind of person you'd want to get to know. He wore the right clothes, and he maintained his appearance the way you would expect, and he drove a really nice car, and he didn't live on campus in the dorms with us peons. He lived off in an apartment off campus, and he was just a very special person, a very nice person to be around, at first at least, until you got to know him very well. I got to know Peter pretty well because I invited him to come to the Wesley Foundation over at University Park United Methodist Church there at SMU, and he, to my surprise, came to class one evening to this Bible study that I was a part of over there at the church, and I got to know Peter through that class. I got to know him more than I wanted to know him. Tell me, do you ever know people? Do you ever meet people? Do you ever talk with people? Do you ever move in circles with people who always want to make sure that you know about their ancestry? That you know how great their parents or their grandparents or their great-grandparents were? Peter was that kind of person. He wanted to make sure that I knew and that everybody in the class knew that he was a descendant of William Bradford and that his ancestors go all the way back to the beginning of the North American colonies of Great Britain. He wanted to make sure that we all knew that his family had a lot of money and had homes in Dallas and Austin, in New York and California, and even overseas in Europe. He wanted to make sure that we knew that his father had airplanes and cars and ships under his command. He wanted to make sure that we knew that he moved and lived in circles of power and influence. He wanted to make sure that we knew that he was someone special. He had a pedigree. He had money and wealth and influence and power. And that he was someone that we ought to want to be around. So my passing acquaintance with Peter from class turned into a desire to be quite very much avoidance of Peter, even at the Wesley Foundation. I was embarrassed almost that I had invited this person to start in the Bible study. I was embarrassed because everybody looked at me and says, "And you invited him to come to be with us?" We all know people like Peter. We all know people who boast and brag about their upbringing and their money and their possessions. You can never outdo them in anything. You celebrate the fact that you got a brand new car. You know, I got a brand new 1999 Oldsmobile. I don't. I really don't. But you brag that you do. And someone else, this person says, "Well, I got a 2000 Cadillac." Or, "I got a new house with 2,000 square feet," and they say, "Well, I got a house with 3,000. It happens amongst the clergy, you know. You know, I had in both services, both morning services and evening service, when you combine the attendance together, I had 182 people in services. And somebody says, "I had a 212 in one service." Kind of makes you feel puny. Peter liked to brag about his own church, about what a wonderful church it was, how beautiful the marble floors were, how well paid their pastor was. I knew a person like that. He was an acquaintance of my, a business associate of my mother, and he was a good friend, and he helped a lot, but he used to admit, "I'm a member of this particular church because it looks good on my resume. It helps me to be a member of the trustees of this church because it helps me in my business dealings to say I'm a member of the board of trustees at this particular church. Not Beverly Drive, this is another church over in Dallas. I mean, it just kind of makes you go, as if that's a status symbol. And it is to them. Peter was like this. And someone else was like this too. Someone whom we all know and we all remember and we all love and we look up to. Someone who wrote over half of the New Testament. His name was Paul. In a letter to the Philippians, now you got to remember, Paul was preaching to a church in Philippi, which was an area in the area of Greece. He was preaching to this church, and he had converted this church and founded the church there. And then following him, there were some Jewish Christians who came along to these Gentile Christians to say, look, you didn't get all the message. Paul didn't preach everything to you. You're not doing all that you're supposed to be doing. And we know that Paul didn't tell you everything because, you see, we have Hebrew credentials. We are sons of Judah, members of the household of David. We have real righteousness. We live righteous lives. We proclaim the gospel of Jesus, and we truly are the real Christians. And Paul comes back with his letter, and he says, look, if anyone has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. That's pretty high cotton. First King was from the tribe of Benjamin. A Hebrew born of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, I'm zealous too. I was a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. So if those fellows coming along feel like they have the right to brag about their credentials in the Jewish faith, I have more right, Paul said. He is playing the fool. But this is a little bit of an insight into his character before his conversion on the road to Damascus. He was very much, according to the book of Acts, like the person that he describes here. He considered himself blameless according to the law. He truly was a member of the house of Benjamin, truly a Hebrew born of Hebrews, proud of his religious accomplishments, proud of his education, proud of who he was, proud of being a part of the Jewish Sanhedrin, proud of all of the wonderful position and authority that he had been given to take letters of power to the people in Damascus to try to overthrow the church that was developing there. Proud of having stood there while Stephen was stoned and approving of it. Proud of his position as a persecutor of the church. Proud of his attainment prior to Christ. Paul has all of these credentials and more, he says, than these people who came along to preach this other gospel to the Philippians. And yet, whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. Wow. All of these wonderful attainments, this power and authority, this education, this position as a Pharisee of the Pharisees, as a persecutor of the church, as a member of the Sanhedrin, as a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as a member of the tribe of Benjamin, all of these wonderful positions of power and attainment, being circumcised on the eighth day, all of these things he counts as rubbish. Refuse. Trash. Trash. Wow. To be able to say, all of my attainment, all of my credentials, all of my works, all of the good things that I have done, all of the wonderful things I have said, all the great sermons I have preached, all the educational attainments that I have, my bachelor's degrees, my master's degrees, doctoral degrees, all this stuff is worthless. It's trash. Because I want to know Christ Jesus and the power of His resurrection. Wow. To be able to say that, to be confident enough in your faith, that in opposition to people who were claiming credentials and claiming authority from Jerusalem and claiming the power of privilege and position that comes with being a Benjamite and being a Judahite and being a member of the Hebrew people, being circumcised on the last day, giving up all of that to say circumcision is irrelevant and all that matters is faith in Jesus Christ and in the resurrection power that He gives. Wow. Being a person who has struggled and climbed and gone to school for years, it just blows my mind how long I spent in school to earn degrees. And then to realize in reading the Scripture that compared with knowing Christ Jesus and the power of His resurrection in my life, all of that is trash. And yet, that's what Paul did. That's the position that Paul came to. He could boast. He could brag. He attained all of this wonderful position. He, like those who were preaching against him, he could brag. But not before Christ, not before this people, not in this situation. What else does he say? For his sake I have suffered the loss of all, the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law. Not having a righteousness of my own works that I can be proud of. But one that comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness of God based on faith. That's what Paul was trying to tell the Philippians. That their righteousness isn't dependent upon their obeying the law or obeying the dietary regulations or becoming circumcised. He was circumcised. He obeyed the dietary regulations. He had been a wonderful Jew. And his righteousness was not based on any of that, but upon faith in Jesus Christ. I want to know Christ, he said. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection. Oh, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection. The power that raised Jesus from the dead. The power that broke through death and brought Jesus to life again. The power of the resurrection of Jesus, we want to know too. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the sharing of His sufferings. Paul, you're sounding great, and now you go and ruin it. Yes, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection, but you have to come back to... I'll give up my former attainments if I can only have attainment now that I'm a Christian. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection. Sounds great. But then he has to go and ruin it and say, and the sharing of His sufferings. Oh, do I really want to share His sufferings? What did He suffer? What did Jesus suffer? He suffered greatly on the cross for you and me for our sins. But what else did He suffer? He suffered a greater indignity. As we found out last week from earlier on in Philippians, from chapter 2, He gave up the status and position of being God to become a human being. He stayed God. He didn't quit being God. But He gave up the glory, the status, the position of being God so that He could be just like you and me, a human being, so that He could then die for you and me. He subjected His will, His power, His status, His authority to God the Father. And that's what Paul is saying we are called to do. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the sharing of His sufferings by becoming like Him in His death. by being subjected under the authority of the Father, by dying to myself so that I may live for Christ, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Oh, this life is not the end, praise God. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me His own, and that's the key. You know, it's not anything that you or I do. It's not our desire. It's not our work. It's not our effort. It's not our, you know, pull them up by your bootstraps, sweat of the brow type work and effort in the Christian life that means anything. All of that is trash, Paul has said. It's entirely God's. It's entirely Christ's. It's entirely God saying, I take you. I select you. I empower you. I make it possible for you to then work and do God's will. It's nothing that we do. We respond. We submit ourselves and allow God to work through us. But it isn't we who do it. It's God who works through us. That's what Paul is saying right here. I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me His own. On the road to Damascus, Jesus came down and literally blinded Paul. Blinded him because he was already spiritually blind. Blinded him physically to get his attention. To claim him as His own. That's exactly what God has done. I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal of the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. I press on toward the goal set before me. Last Sunday I asked you a very simple question. You even had a questionnaire to fill out. It's a simple question. Why are you a Christian? By what reason, what cause, why are you a Christian? And today I ask you a second question. Not just why are you a Christian, but what is your goal? If your goal is attainment and power and authority and position in this life, you've got the wrong goal. What is your goal? Is it being with Jesus? Is it living by His resurrection power? I pray that it is. Because that's the only power we can live by. The resurrection power of Jesus. The power that raised Christ from the dead can move into our lives and raise our spiritual dead lives to life. He can bring us back to spiritual life today. And that's what communion's about today. Today, all over the world, it's Communion Sunday. World Communion Sunday. A time to come and be encountered by the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Come today and receive the wonderful gift of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ into your life again. Come and kneel and eat and drink with faith and know the power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. And give thanks to God that He is there to work in your life too. Come and receive the resurrection power again. And give thanks to God for the gift. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Are there any prayer needs in the congregation this morning?